This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 18.
Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it.
What is up, Heart Hustler? I am really excited for today's episode for a few different reasons. Number one, I hope you can hear the difference. We upgraded. We are high-level audio status. So hopefully you guys like the upgrade to our audio and it's clear. But I'm also excited because I have on a guest that pushes me a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I have Naveed Moazzez on the show today, and he is the Virtual Summit guy. Now, let me tell you something. I get 2 to 3 requests a week to be on virtual summits, and they detail how many people I need to have on my opt-in list and why I should do this virtual summit. And they're from people I've never met before. And, you know, the truth is I've been kind of turned off by virtual summits. I just get so many requests that I was like, oh my gosh, this is too much. They feel spammy. They feel sleazy to me. And I reached out to Naveed and we connected a while back and I said, you know, like, let's talk about this. Is this what you're teaching people to do? And he told me, no, not at all. We have a totally different philosophy when it comes to virtual summits. And I got to talk to him and learn more about how he structures his summits and how his students are killing it, bringing in tens of thousands of opt-ins, hundreds of thousands of dollars with their virtual summits. And the students he's talking about, I know their summits and I think they're awesome. So I had him on the show today, even though virtual summits had me feeling uneasy. But by the time I was done, let me tell you, whether you're looking to do a virtual summit or not, there are mad value bombs all up in this episode. So you need to listen. But before we dive into that, quick word, if you haven't already hopped over to heartsoulhustle.com/class and claimed our free Periscope for Profits training, you absolutely need to get over there and do it. We're going to show you how to get your first 1,000 followers, what it takes to create massive success. We're even going to give you a fill in the blank sales script so you can get massive results with your Periscope streams. All you have to do is head over to heartsoulhustle.com/class, pick a time and date that works for you, and enjoy the free training. So let's jump into the interview. Now, for those of you that don't know, Naveed is the virtual summit guy. He's been behind some amazing summits, including Chandler Bolt's summit, who is founder of Self-Publishing School. He runs a multi-million dollar business, which you'll hear about. Naveed has been the face behind some incredibly successful summits. He's had A-list players connect with him, including people like Ramit Sethi, and he's done it all by building his business via virtual summits. And I cannot wait to get into it. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Naveed Moazzez. Hey, Naveed, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me, Zach. It's a pleasure being on.
Yeah, well, I am super excited to have you on and just dive right in because there are so many people out there doing virtual summits, but we've talked about this a little bit and we'll totally get into this in the interview, but there's like a right way to do virtual summits. And so I was really excited to have you on to talk about that. But before we dive into all the virtual summits and launches and all that good stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm originally from Sweden. Now I'm living in Barcelona at the time of this recording, but I'm running my multi six-figure online business now from cool locations around the world. That's kind of how I describe myself, like where I live and how like my lifestyle now. And most of 2015, I lived in Cancun, for example. So that's kind of what I do now. I don't live in my home country anymore and not really an intention of doing that. But what I do to really help people, how, you know, I make money too, is I help entrepreneurs create, promote, and profit from virtual summits so they can skyrocket their business and brand online. And, you know, I have other expertise too with launches, stuff like that. Now I've been very successful. That's my kind of main program, Virtual Summit Mastery. And that's how I kind of have a lot of success stories of people going through there. One of the actually highest ROI people can get from any program I've seen, and the success stories just insane. We can get into a little bit of that later in this interview as well. So that's kind of the short version. And then really how I started was in June 2013, just launched my website, NavidMoazzez.com, actually after It was my brother. He unfortunately passed away like a few months earlier there in April of 2013. And I felt so devastated. My whole family did. Like, it was so sudden. And then I decided just to go for it. I didn't have any experience. I didn't have any connections in the online space, but I decided to start my blog, NavidMuazzez.com, with an interview with Pat Flynn of all people. So I kind of started with the big guys there. I just interviewed him. And then one thing led to another, launched a podcast, the Lifestyle Architects Show, interviewed some great people there as well, Robert Green, Cal Newport, Chris Ducker, many, many more. Then I realized I wasn't really growing my email list rapidly, and I was not generating that much cash flow in my business. And that's how I really stumbled across virtual summits, because I could still interview people, you know, leverage their expertise and their branding, all that kind of stuff that comes with it, and, you know, just create an amazing event. But I saw these health summits, they were generating 6 to 7 figures from these free events. Well, they were free in the front end, but then they were selling an all access pass. They had other ways to monetize too. It was a really compelling business model, because that's what it is. Podcast, a blog, all great, but it's not, it's a way to market your business. Where a summit, you can actually generate some money too. You can grow your list rapidly and still build these great relationships. And that led me to, you know, study this. There was no programs, there's no trainings on this topic. So I learned everything I could, spent, I don't know, hundreds, if not thousands of hours. Now I've done my 10,000 hours doing this, but I launched my first summit, the Branding Summit, in November 2014. And I grew my list by almost 3,000 people, generated $20,000 in profit. I quit my job, moved abroad. And that's also when I got the idea for teaching other people to do the same with Virtual Summit Mastery, because people ask me how I did it, how people love to promote me. I mean, I didn't have relationships with all these people promoting me for this summit, but they still did, because it was so well put together. And then it didn't stop there. But in January 2015, I had about 3,600 people on my list. I generated $40,000 in profit from different ways of, you know, promoting other people's offers. Like, I promoted Ramit Sethi, for example, became his number one affiliate, and became, you know, really built a great relationship with some big names, because I was successful in doing it. I had a very engaged audience. And that's also while I moved abroad, I had this kind of the lifestyle I'm living now as well. But I still work extremely hard to take my business to the next level. So that's kind of the short version of how I got to where I am today.
Awesome. I love it. There's so much good stuff that you said in there. And a few things that I picked up on were, number one, you like really took a plunge, which is 20,000 in profit to like just up and move abroad. Like, that's a really big commitment at a $20,000 mark. And the other thing that you said, which I'm so glad you said it, because I think it segues perfectly into the first big question I have for you, which is, you said, you know, I became a top affiliate for Ramit Sethi, and you built that relationship with him. So can you talk a little bit about how your virtual summits are different? Because we've actually talked to our audience a little bit about them. And right now the consensus is, well, I shouldn't say it, because you've proven me wrong with your massively successful launch we'll talk about. But some people feel like summits are a little like overplayed, or like, you know, we get like, gosh, I don't know, 2 to 3 summit requests a week in our inbox. That's like, all you have to do is email your list, and then we're going to give you half of the profits. And it just feels so spammy. And I preface with that, and we talked about this before the interview, because that's not what you teach. So talk to us a little bit about how your summit process is different without giving away the keys to the castle.
Yeah, sure. I mean, first of all, if you want, let's say, a big name influencer like Derek Halpern to mention you on social media because you sent a shitty request, you do what other people tell you to do. If you want, you know, to have Seth Godin endorse your summit, you do what I tell you to do here. So that's kind of where my students, they're getting endorsed by Seth Godin. Seth Godin doesn't do any summits, but one of my students, she got Seth Godin to be on the summit, and that's very rare. Well, the big mistake people are making when they're reaching out to these influencers, first of all, they don't do their research well. They just send a template, and that's a big mistake. Never do that. Never, ever send a template to someone. You want them on your summit. You want to build this relationship, and that's not how you build a relationship. And also something else, you require them to promote, and you're starting out. Why should you require them to promote? They should promote you because your summit is amazing. The content you're sharing there is amazing. So they are doing their audience a disservice by not promoting this. And that's what happens in a lot of cases for my students, because they don't require people to promote. I don't say to them, hey, you're going to require someone to promote. Obviously, the more you're growing your business. And now I, for example, have more leverage. So I can, you know, people want to promote my summits because they get a lot of exposure too. You know, that's kind of where you can get. But when you're starting, don't do that. Don't mention your email. Hey, you need to have at least 5,000 email subscribers in order to be eligible for this summit. You might have heard those examples. You know, I've seen that. And yeah, and that doesn't feel right. It's, you don't build a relationship based on transaction. Like, that's a transactional kind of way to build a relationship. And would you like someone to do that with you? I don't think so. So just don't do that. That's kind of the main thing. Don't do it. Have a template. Don't even require them to promote, especially not in your initial email. Like, or have a fine line in a speaker agreement that it says, hey, you need to email your list as solo emails at least 2 times. Don't do that. Like, now to get that out of the way, that's not the way my students get success. So you don't need to do that in order to be successful with your summit. So now we get to how you should do it. Like, instead, focus on how you can make it a win-win and very beneficial for them to be part of it. For example, you can promote, let's say if they have a lead magnet or a book coming out, that's what you can position. That's, you can promote that and make sure that's seen on the summit, because summit is a great way, obviously, for them also to get some exposure. And also you can promote them after the summit. You're expecting, let's say, a few thousand people, even tens of thousands of people to show up. That's also leverage point for you, because let's say also some students in my program, they're not in the online marketing space. You know, they're like in adoption, they're in maybe dog training, whatever it is. You know, in that space, it's not very common with virtual summits. So they might have to explain a little bit what it is. Maybe call it an online conference or, you know, something like that. Just the wording can make a big difference. And also most people, they know what podcasts are now. And you can say, hey, it's like a podcast, but it's more exposure for you. And it's going to be, you know, a lot of fun pretty much. I mean, that's what it is. When you listen to a podcast like this, you might be in the gym now. You might, you know, drive your car. But when you're watching, you know, because I do recommend video interviews for summits, because you connect more with your audience, you connect more with the speakers. It's just, they are there on the page watching this, and they can click through to whatever they have. Like, let's say a lead magnet, maybe you let them promote their course. I haven't done this personally, but I've seen summits work well when they can have a presentation and then they maybe bundle in an offer at the end. Teachable is doing that, for example, to sell their software, you know, their online course software, which, you know, it doesn't even have to be for personal brands, can work for software companies too, these summits. So, like, big names are doing it, like Michael Hyatt, like Lewis House, a lot of other big names too in the cinematography space. So this is definitely something you should be paying attention to. I mean, big marketing websites, they're saying like one of the best ways to get highly engaged subscribers and also turn those into, you know, customers is by hosting these virtual conferences or virtual summits.
So one of the things that I'm hearing from you is that it's more about getting the right people than it is about making these big promises or, you know, focusing on a big audience. Because the other thing that I see a lot of people do is they say stuff like, well, we budgeted 20,000 for this and you're going to get massive exposure. And like, as much as that should encourage me to want to be on the summit, the first thing I'm thinking is, number one, how is this person who I've never heard of before, like, where are they getting $20,000 from? How are they spending it? Where is that going? Like, why do I have to provide leads? How are the leads being split? So I just want to check in and verify. So you're saying it's better to lead with the relationship first and let people know, here's how we can use this audience to serve you. Whatever promotion you feel is good, you do. Yeah. And by building the right relationships, it kind of almost intrinsically builds its own promotion.
Yes, because I start even before when you're starting. I mean, people start like, hey, we're just going to invite the speakers right away. They haven't done any planning, anything like that. I start with the foundation. So you need to have, the more specific you can go with your virtual summit idea or with your virtual summit theme, the better. For example, you know, I have a student, she's in the health and fitness industry. She was super skeptical about doing summits because it's very crowded in that space. But what she did, she went very specific. She did the Women's Strength Summit and she got like 19,650 people sign up for a summit and generated over $60,000, you know, in revenue. And now she's growing her business very quickly from that. But she was like, I don't want to do something. Like, maybe a lot of people in your, you know, Facebook group, they felt the same. I mean, you mentioned this to me. They feel that maybe they're spammy, maybe they see a lot of summits out there now, but it all depends what industry and how you can make this work. You can create a go-to event for your target market, but don't do an online business summit or just a regular summit for, I mean, you might have seen these summits by coaches. They're doing like the same, you know, how to generate six-figure summit. Like that's so broad. Like, I mean, in your case, for example, Zach, you could do a summit on Periscope. That would do, because that's specific. Or like now live video, even that, you know, a little bit broader, but still live video is an interesting topic. A lot of people are talking about it. I saw a big course coming out recently on live video. I mean, that's just in the online marketing space. But if you're in adoption or have people in like vertical farming in my program, like it's just like very specific things. I have people in all different industries. And after you figure that out, obviously your topic, you have to build these authentic, powerful relationships with influencers and other people in your industry before you actually need them. This is really important because you can do this pretty quickly and obviously get on their radar before you reach out, because it's going to be much easier for you to get them to say yes to come on your summit. If you, let's say, been on the radar, what you can do is simply to give a genuine compliment. Maybe you listen to this episode with me, you enjoyed some tips I gave, you know, reach out to me at, you know, navid@navidmuazzez.com, share it with me. I mean, that's the easiest way. I mean, it doesn't have to be with me, just any person, Zach, any person you follow, an influencer, share that with them, be a case study for them. That's the best way to build a relationship. I know, Zach, you've been that for several programs, built relationships that way. And, you know, now you do a lot of even partnerships with, you know, James Wedmore, you've been on Amy Porterfield's show. I mean, doesn't come by chance, honestly. It's just something you have to nurture. You have to build these relationships and then you do something worthwhile so you get noticed. And this can go pretty quickly. It doesn't have to be something that takes months. It's just you do that in the meantime and then you reach out to them to be on your summit. And that can be like a video invitation, not the template. It can be a video invitation where you share exactly why you want them to be on the summit, how you can add value to them and why they're such a good fit. You know, pretty much that's what Sonia did to get Seth Godin on. She had read all Seth Godin's books. Seth Godin could sense that. He's getting a lot of requests every day. So he can really feel if someone is authentic with their approach or if they're not, if they just want to have him on the summit because he's a big name. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that you say that. And I think the really core messaging here is that, you know, when you build the right relationships, it's almost like the business model doesn't matter. Now, like, I think virtual summits are incredibly effective when done right. It's just like you said, like, it's that the relationship that allows you to get those A players on your summit and to talk about it are the same relationships that did help us land interviews with Amy Porterfield, John Lee Dumas, James Wedmore. It's that relationship first. And it almost sounds tacky, but it's that whole like, oh, give tons of value before you take it. And inevitably those people start sharing. Now I'm kind of generalizing. I'm sure in your training, there's like much more in depth about marketing correctly and things like that. So can we talk about it a little bit like that? So let's imagine that everybody is on board so far. I know that like straight up as we're talking, I'm like, okay, this is not how I viewed virtual summits, to be fully transparent. I viewed them as the spammy, you have to have 5,000. I never viewed them as a build relationship, build value, and then let the audience build itself. So I'm now sucked in. So hopefully we don't run too long, but talk to us about, okay, so let's say I secured Amy Porterfield, James Wedmore, I get you to do it, I get John Lee Dumas, and we're going to do this really awesome summit called, I don't know, what is everybody here, podcasting, right? We're going to do a podcasting summit, how to get your first 10,000 podcast listeners.
Yeah.
What is my next step in terms of like promoting that? Because I didn't actually ask them to promote. So like you said that your one student got like 20,000. Where do those come from if you're not explicitly asking people to share it?
Here's the good thing there. Like if you deliver so much value, you still, I mean, there's a fine line. You don't require them to promote, but you still have to ask in order for someone to do something for you. So that's the fine line. You still ask, but that's okay. If you had an amazing interview with someone, I mean, why not ask? Like, you're not going to ruin that relationship if you're asking. And you can also feel if they're going to promote. For example, if I had Ramit Sethi on a summit, I know Ramit. He doesn't promote you know, anything to his list other than his own stuff pretty much. And he's a big name. So I wouldn't probably ask him. It would be enough for me to have him on because he's an A-lister. You know, he's up there already. He has an eight-figure business, you know, and all that. And maybe if it's someone else, like I have a mix of C, B, and A-listers on the summit. So maybe some of the A-listers, they won't promote the first time. You know, you can accept that. They are on your summit because they add so much credibility to your event anyway. But then you have some C and B-listers. They are more likely to promote you. You know, that's kind of how you can get, you know, up to the opt-ins. And you can feel also, since you're asking them, you make it easy for them to promote if they say yes. If they want to promote you, it's all about how you communicate with them. I've been part of many affiliate promotions. We've done multi-six figures for that for some clients doing these promotions. And I know that the communication is key. And if someone has said yes, you need to communicate with them. You know, find reasons to reach out to them. Make it easy. Have swipe copy for them. Have the promotional graphics with their face on it. All that kind of stuff matters a lot. You're just making it easy for them, giving them a promotional calendar so they know exactly when they should be sending the emails, you know, and when they should be sending out the promotions, because otherwise they don't really know. They're busy. They don't know when they should do something. So I think that's really important. So you get clear over that. I mean, have a calendar, you know, ask them, communicate with them effectively, and then you can have a very successful promo. Even if you're starting from scratch, honestly, I've had people taking my program. They had zero audience, you know, starting out, and they grew their list by several thousand people in some cases. You know, some people even got even more than that. One in particular, he was in the insurance industry. I mean, very cool. He got 3,500 opt-ins and he generated pretty much six figures from the summit, everything he did there. Amazing conversion rate there as well, because he had a go-to event in that industry. I mean, that's why it's powerful. He's not just doing like just another online marketing summit. It's in a specific industry. Yes, he had some experience in insurance, but he didn't have any relationships, you know, maybe a few here and there, but not anything major, but he still got people on board for this and got them excited to be part of it. I think that's the main thing. You got to get someone excited. You got to do, you know, in order to stand out, you're going to have a unique hook for it. You can't do just copy another summit. It's going to be something unique with it so you stand out.
Oh, wow. My mind is just like reeling with so much stuff because this applies even beyond the virtual summit space. Like we're doing a joint venture in the next couple of weeks. And that's what we've done is we've created swipe file and we've set up calendars and we've set instructions and we do the exact same thing with our podcast where when our episode goes live, we do exactly what you said, which is we make it so, so easy. So we send out an email and it says, hey, here's like photos of you and me with the name of our episode. You can promote it. Here's the links or click this button and send out a tweet. If you don't want to do anything else, then at least we get that side-by-side exposure. And then we say, or, you know, feel free to email it to your list. Here's everything you need to do that. So yeah. I think what you're like, that's so key what you said there, which is you do have to ask for it, but it's that positioning of the people who are kind of doing summits wrong, for lack of a better way to put it. They're front loading the ask. They're leading with their ask instead of leading with the value. And in your model, you build that relationship, you lead with the ask, and then your ask is simply, here's the easiest way to help me if it helps you. And then you're giving people that opportunity to make that decision of what is the best for them. Because we do see this all the time where massive influencers kind of share a nobody or, you know, a C-lister or a B-lister, so to speak, on their Facebook page, and then it goes dead. But you're saying build that relationship, ask them to do that share, and then leverage the fact that, yo, Amy Porterfield just shared a promotion you did. Let everybody know. Push that out there. So do you also encourage people to do things like run Facebook ads or build other ways? Or do you find that most of that traffic is built organically?
Yeah. So, I mean, for Summit specifically, we do a few things. And if you have a very small budget, because it's going to be, you know more about Facebook ads than I do, but for Summit, what works well is the retargeting. If you have a very small budget, I think retargeting it works well, especially if you have a lot of people sending traffic to your landing page, then you can just retarget those people and that converts very well. There's going to be probably a little bit more expensive. You're going to run cold traffic, especially if you have very little budget. I don't recommend it too much, but for the retargeting, it works well. But of course, you can give some of the speakers a budget. I mean, if you have that, you know, maybe that's something I will do for my future summit, just to give them, let's say, $500 to spend, and they can also run Facebook traffic. That could be a good idea there. So there's many different ways to get people to opt in. Obviously, one is to have speakers and other promotional partners promote a virtual summit. Facebook ads is one. There's other ways like giveaways. You can do different cool things there. There's, guest posting I've seen people having success with. There's getting featured on bigger publications. It all depends on what leverage points you have and how much time you have. But if you only could do, let's say, one or two things, it would be for sure the affiliate promotion and the getting the speakers on board. But by not, you know, as we said, you don't have to require them to promote, just putting together an epic virtual summit, really valuable content. And people ask me, what's epic content? How do you make it epic? Well, you know your audience better than I do. I mean, you know what questions they're asking you. You know these things. And that's what you need to have on your summit as well. You're not like covering their story for 45 minutes on a virtual summit interview. Don't do that. They can go to some of the podcasts in iTunes to listen on someone's story. But on a virtual summit, you got to keep it actionable because people are going to purchase an all access pass. So it's free to sign up for typically. And then on the thank you page, they can purchase an all access pass. And then you kind of deliver the summit via email. So you can do summit pre-recorded, you can do it live, but it doesn't really matter. But you still have the sell something. You sell an all access pass, and for people to buy something, you're gonna have it, so people can get some results from this information.
Awesome. So then let's segue right into that. So I have one last question for you. We'll go into our wrap up here. But so up to this point, I think everything's been super crystal clear. And I think you kind of cleared up a lot of the misconceptions. So we're building really solid relationships. We're inviting people. We're giving them the opportunity to share it out. So that's the last question. So where does the actual profits come in from this virtual summit? Because it's free to sign up. It's free to watch the videos. So maybe, in just a couple of minutes, tell us where does that money come in? What are the ways that you recommend people monetize?
Yeah. If you're just starting out, the easiest way to monetize, and you maybe don't have a product or a service to offer. So the easiest way to do this is to have it for free. So you actually grow your list very quickly. You can get 1,000 to a few thousand people sign up. That's very realistic if you're just starting out to get 1,000 to a few thousand people sign up for your first summit, if you're doing it the right way. And then you're selling an all access pass, which consists of the video interviews, the audios of that, and also maybe some irresistible bonuses. You can have maybe some speakers, giving away some, less expensive courses, could be ebooks, could be, a private Facebook group, could be a Q&A session with you, whatever that is, just have some extra bonuses there. And then depending on the market, because pricing is very strategic, you would sell that, let's say, if it was me, I would sell it for, let's say, start with $97. And then you're treating your summit as a launch. So you would actually, increase the price throughout. You would do some cool things there as you would for a real product launch. And that's kind of what I do for my summits. That's what my students do as well. And then it works really well. So you can get a lot of profit from, doing a summit, like a few thousand dollars. Like if you're just starting, even five figures, in some cases, six figures, even if you have a really solid market and a really good summit. So that's what I've seen. And also, if you have, let's say, 12,000 people on your list already, and you're like, okay, how can I leverage summits? I already have a list. Well, I'm going to tell you about Chandler Baltra of self-publishing. He was a client of mine. So we did a summit. He wanted to grow his business faster. So we did his summit last year, 2015, in July. He had made about, up until this point throughout 2015, he had made $300,000. He had the 12,000 person list, as I said. And from the summit, by its own, we got 30,000 people sign up for the summit, 30,000 people, and we got $370,000 in revenue. Wow. So that's just in less than 2 months, he grew his list that quickly. And just wait for this, now he has over 100,000 people on his list, and he has a multi-million dollar online education company or self-publishing school, and everything he's doing there is growing very quickly. And he's doing another summit now, actually, in 2016. And whose system do you think he's using? He's obviously using the Virtual Summit Mastery system because it just works. It just works if you put in the work. It's not something you do in a weekend or even a few weeks. It takes a few months, typically 3 to 4 months, to put together a really epic summit. If you have no experience, maybe it takes you a little bit longer. But everyone I've asked, they have said is well worth it. And you learn a lot of things you can leverage for, let's say, product launches like I've done now in my business. I do, 5 to even 6 product launches for my own stuff. And it's because I had this experience in launching, the summit. Like I did mine in 2014, also working with a lot of clients and students doing this.
Wow. It's all very, very impressive. I love it. So So let's wrap up with some like the rapid fire rounds. So what is something that people could do this week to start moving their business forward? If it's whether it's virtual summits or it can be like a totally unrelated piece of advice.
Yeah. So I think whether you want to do a summit or not, the best thing you can do is really to build these authentic, powerful relationships before you actually need them. So make a list of maybe you start with 5 to 10 influencers or even other people, maybe you're in some communities, online courses, stuff like that, and reach out to them if they've helped you. Share a genuine compliment with them and don't ask for anything in return or don't expect anything in return. Just share this because you really want to give the value to them, and you're going to be surprised about the relationships you can build if you do it this way. And you do this like every week. I think that's just something I do it constantly, share value with people. So that works.
And I think I can vouch for that. We did that. We actually just opened up a notebook the other day and I was like, oh, wow, here's a list of 10 people I want to connect with by the end of 2015. And wouldn't you know it, we checked everybody off the list. So such a good strategy. And then what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Yeah, for me, the word hustle really means that you show up in everything you do. I mean, now related to this in your business, 100% every day. I mean, I have my plan, what I want to achieve for 2016. And I mean, it's pretty much the first time I really have it outlined, like by in a calendar, you know, the promotions, different things. But I know what I'm going to do. And if I'm going to achieve this, I have to show up. And that's what really hustle means. I mean, I'm a hard worker and that is showing up every single day, whether that's in your business, whether that's in other things you do in your life, like your fitness, like your health, all that stuff. I think hustle is really important.
Awesome. And then we'll wrap it up with, people are now in love with you. They are ready to do their first virtual summit. Where can they go to find more information?
Yeah. So if you want to have my 7-step process for doing this, I know that all my students have gone through, my clients as well, just head over to virtualsummitmastery.com/cheat sheet and you can get this outline. That's what Chandler started with. That's what we used to. I mean, my students now have generated over $1 million in revenue and grown their list by 100,000 of people in less than a year. So it works. So go over there and check it out. And also if you want more of my personal story and like some also some actionable advice, you can go to navidmuazzez.com/free report. So I have 2 great freebies for you there if you want to check that out. I also have navid.me, guys. So navid.me, I you make it easy for people. So navid.me/free report. You can also go there and check it out. So that's easier to spell.
Awesome. Well, we will link that all up in the show notes. I'll give you guys a link in just a second, but I want to take a quick second to thank you so much for being on the show today, Navid. It was absolutely awesome, and I cannot wait to see what people do with all this awesome information. So I'm hoping you got just as much out of that interview as I did. And I don't know about you guys, but I was like that whole time, like maybe I should do a virtual summit. I could do one in 3 to 4 months. I think whether you're interested in doing a virtual summit or not, whether you are all about that virtual summit life or not, there were a few key takeaways from this that really apply to all areas of your business. And the first one was build freaking relationships. You know, Navid said it and I kind of touched on it in the interview, but the relationships that have allowed him to get those A-listers, the Ramit Sethis, that have allowed me to attract people on my show like, you know, James Wedmore, John Lee Dumas, Kimura Luna. It's all about the relationships. That's where it starts. And then the second big takeaway was you have to give people a reason to want to work with you or connect with you. It's really important that anybody that you're looking to connect with, it comes from initially a place of there is no secondary piece. You know, the more relationships you organically build, the more people you'll have in your arsenal when you want to do something, right? So when we launched this podcast, we didn't have to struggle to figure out who to have on the show because I had built up those relationships in the month prior. And then the last thing, the last real key takeaway that I loved was, you know, virtual summits can be a really great springboard to build your business. But the goal when you're doing anything with someone else is to encourage them and go for the ask when you want them to share. I think that whether it's sales or promotion or joint ventures, we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to reach out and ask people for what we want. You know, we're doing a joint venture promotion in a couple of weeks, and I reached out to all of my affiliates and said, hey, would you be willing to provide a bonus that we can give away on a webinar, right? Now, they would have never provided that bonus for free, or maybe they would have, but generally speaking, people won't just offer up the things that you're looking for. But because we asked, most of the people in our promotion said yes. And now we have a really awesome bonus stack that we can give away to improve our promotion. You know, the big takeaways are relationships and quality of relationships, building that up first, and then, of course, going for the ask when you want something. And whether it's virtual summits or your general business, I think that these principles are universal. They're amazing. If you want the full deets on everything we talked about, make sure you get the show notes over at heartsoulhustle.com/18. That's heartsoulhustle.com/18. You'll get all the details there, and we will catch you all on the flip side next week.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.